the Bible, God, our lives. That's why it's so important to stay in this book, the Bible, God's book. Because this reminds us, you know, that song reminds me of how you can read through some of the letters of Paul, and he addresses them as the saints. And then he goes through and he talks about some of the issues in the church that need corrected. But God, when he's in our life, we're his child. And that gives you a freedom, a joy, that he's cleansed you and made you new. And he has. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. The title of my message this morning is Rise Up, Rise Up. This will be a familiar story to you. Maybe some of the details, you just need a little reminding about the details. But it's a beautiful and powerful story there in Acts chapter 12. Beginning at verse number 1, it says, "About that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church." Not the kind of harassment we might think of today. We live very blessed and sheltered lives in America. This kind of harassment is something that they do experience, though, in other areas of the world. Look at verse number 2. "He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover." He was intending to execute Peter as well. "Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping." That in and of itself is pretty amazing. "He was bound with 2 chains between 2 soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly.' And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself and tie on your sandals.' And so he did. And he said to him, 'Put on your garment and follow me.' So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, 'Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people.'" Pray with me. God, we thank you for your powerful, dynamic, living, always relevant word. Speak to us today, we pray, in this place, through the living word. Let your living spirit come and encourage us and call us to rise up, walk with you, serve you, find our strength and marching orders from you, like Peter and the early church did. We praise you for how you've already been ministering in our midst, and thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Sometime back when Dr. Hung Young was here, he showed a little video, and on there was a person who later I learned was the heavenly man. That's how they referred to him. And if you want to know why he got that name, you have to get the book, The Heavenly Man. But he's a Chinese Christian, Brother Yun, Y-U-N. I kind of giggle every time I say it because it sounds like I'm, you know, from Pennsylvania trying to say Ewens. Ewan. Angie even told me how to spell Ewens in this morning's service. Ewens is kind of how you say it, isn't it? Ewens. But it's not Yun, it's Y-U-N, not Y-I, or how did you spell it? Y-O. U-N-S. See, that's how you spell Ewens. Y-O-U-N-S. This is Brother Yun, Y-U-N. His story is really a miraculous story of how God first saved him, a Chinese peasant. And then, as he serves the Lord, how he's persecuted and how God, they suffer tremendously, sort of like much like the church in the early part of Acts here. The Chinese Christians still today are suffering. We have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are suffering. I just saw an advertisement last week about a documentary, which was a revelation to me. There are many underground Christians in Iran now. a big Christian church in Iran, and they risked their lives. And the one person who spoke under anonymity, of course, she said, and by the way, a lot like China, it's a lot of women. For some reason, it's a lot of women who are leading the movement, the Christian movement. The church, they don't have buildings like this. It's too dangerous. They meet in houses, and they say, we pray about where to meet. God leads us. God has to do that, direct us who to talk to, who not to talk to. And she said, when I go out the door, I don't even know if I'll see this door again at the end of the day. It's dangerous serving the Lord in some parts of the world today, like it was here in the book of Acts. Brother Yuen was experiencing that when he was serving the Lord in China. He has since been delivered out of China by God, sent out of China. But at one point, the guards had beat, he was in a maximum security prison in an isolation ward in the prison. The guards had beat his legs so severely that he couldn't walk. He could only crawl around. When he had to go to the bathroom, they had three different inmates who would carry him to the bathroom because of the condition of his legs. And one day, as he was praying, he said, God spoke to me out of his word. Jeremiah is what he spoke to me. This is what he said. I am with you to rescue you and save you, declares the Lord. I will save you from the hands of the wicked. He said, just then I had a vision of my wife tending to my wounded legs. And she said, why don't you get up and go through the iron gate, which of course is the gate of the prison. And this is happening in one after the other in succession. And then another inmate who's a Christian comes to him and says, Ewan, you must escape. And he said, I had a threefold witness between God's word and his spirit and now another Christian. But he thought, you know, of course he's afraid. He thought he was going to be shot if he tried to escape. But he obeyed the Lord and he started to move down. He was on the third floor level of a maximum security prison in isolation. He started to walk toward the first door and a guard opened the door because somebody was coming from the other side in. And he said, I just kept walking and praying to God, if I die today, receive my spirit into heaven. And he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, the God of Peter, Acts 12, the God of Peter is your God. So he said, I just kept walking. But of course he's fearful. And that's a good lesson for you this morning. You know, maybe some, they're super, super spiritual people who don't face fear. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Sometimes we face fear. Not in this country like what I'm describing to you right here for the most part. But we can, with God, face our fears and keep walking with him. He said he walked down the tier and he grabbed a broom to pretend like he was sweeping, and the next door opened. And he said, I walked through that door and I passed another inmate who knew who I was. And he looked at me and he said, Yuen, are you going to escape? Aren't you afraid to die? And he just kept walking. And he said, I got to the next door and it was sitting ajar because there's an officer sitting there. And he said, it was as if he looked right through me. And I just kept walking. So he said he got down to the first floor, and that happened for three different floors. And then he gets out to the courtyard, and you have to walk through the courtyard to the main gate, and he walked through the courtyard. And in the book, they have testimonies from several of the inmates saying how they watched out the window, expecting him to be shot at any minute, and he just kept walking and walking. And he walked through the crowd of inmates and all the guards in the courtyard, and he gets to the big main gate, and wouldn't you know it, it's open. And he walks through it and he's standing suddenly. It's like Peter, he said he couldn't believe it. There he was. He's standing on the street outside of a maximum security prison. And a cab pulls up and says, are you going somewhere? And he jumps in. He tells the cab driver, I'm going to such and such a place because there's a Christian family he knows that is in that province. And the cab driver takes him to that house and he runs up and he says, I have no cab fare. They give him cab fare and he runs down and pays the cab fare. He comes back up and the daughter of the family who lives in that house says, you and we, the church, we have been praying for you all week. And just yesterday, the Holy Spirit spoke to my mom and said, you were going to escape and come to our house, and we've already prepared a hiding place for you. So they put him on a bike, and he on his bicycle is when he realized that God healed his legs. It's when he got up to obey the Lord to leave that God healed his legs, but he was so afraid of being shot, he didn't really realize. And he got on the bike to ride to the hiding place, and he said, it came to me, God had healed my legs. He got to the hiding place, and he said, a torrential rain blew in, and he believed that was God covering his tracks, the wind, the rain. All of this happened. And here's what he said about the whole ordeal. He said that he learned that when the Lord tells you to do something, there's no time for discussion or rationale, regardless of the situation we face. Sometimes we too need a little more courage. Maybe there's somebody here today who's just going day by day, and you just say, tomorrow, if God gives me enough grace and strength tomorrow, and I'm telling you, he will. In ministry, we talk to people like that. I just talked to somebody like that a couple days ago, facing the imminent death of a loved one, unless God does a miracle, the imminent death of a loved one. And I said, that is very words. God will give you the grace for tomorrow. I have never gone through what you're going through, but God will give you enough grace for tomorrow and then the day after that. We know people who said it was moment by moment. God just kept me, keep me for the next minute, God, for the next minute. And I'm saying to you, if you trust Jesus, if he's your Savior, you walk with him. He'll help you. He'll go with you. Sometimes we need a little extra, like Brother Ewan, we need a little extra courage, some more conviction to follow the Lord. I pray, God, stir us up, raise us up. Let us rise up and serve you. You know, an airline company, speaking of courage to rise up, an airline decided that it was going to save any potential for accidents by making its airline completely automated, eliminating any potential for human error, and even taking the pilots out of the cockpit. So on the first maiden voyage without a pilot, everybody sits down, the plane's full, and over the PA system comes a voice that says, it may interest you to know that you're traveling on the world's first completely automated and computerized plane. Just sit back and relax, because nothing can go wrong. Go wrong. Go wrong. Go wrong. Something had already gone wrong. If I were on that plane, I would have rushed to get out of the door. But here's what I want you to know this morning. God is calling the church to rise up. If you haven't, you've been with us as we've gone through the first 12 chapters of Acts. At the very outset, Jesus says, all the way back in the beginning of the book, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. You receive power from the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be witnesses for me all over the place, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. He's saying, church, you're going to be empowered by my Spirit to serve me, but we've got to rise. That, if you've learned nothing else by going through the first 12 chapters of Acts, you've learned that persecution comes, and all the Bible says everybody who wants to live godly will suffer persecution. We will have problems, trouble in this life, but you can still, even in this chapter, I'm going to touch on it in a second, still you can rise up with God's grace and help. Still you can rise up and serve him, walk with him. Still we can, and not only can we must. Church, you are the answer for this world. You are. When I say church today, I don't want you to think about the lights or the brick or even the Church of God International. I want you to think of you and me. We are the church. And God calls us to rise up the way the angel called Peter to rise up. Peter, if you've been with us, Peter is sort of representative of the church in the first 12 chapters. He goes off the scene now, and it's going to be more about the Apostle Paul, but he's been very, very prominently figured in these chapters, sort of as the head of the church. And when he calls him to rise, I think of us, the church. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Speaking of which, it's an interesting a note here. The angel in verse number 7 struck Peter on the side. It's the same Greek word used at by the end of the chapter, speaking of rising up even in the midst of persecution. At the end of the chapter, Herod, who kills James with the sword, Herod does not give God glory when the people are saying to Herod, the voice of God and not of a man. And the Bible says that in verse number 23, immediately an angel of the Lord struck him. Same word, struck. The same word. An angel strikes Peter to raise him up. Here an angel strikes Herod to lay him low. And the angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God glory. And he was eaten by worms and died. So that's, let me tell you, much better to have God lift you up than strike you down. Now, I'm not warning you this morning saying if you don't rise up, God will strike you down. I'm saying that the same God that was with that church is with you and me, with this church today. The same God sending us out to people who are just as lost, just as lost. The same God empowering the church to share the same name, the name of Jesus. You know, you have a connection with the early church. God's called us to rise up and to do his work. You know, here in the book of Acts, it tells us that Peter had a vision about going to Cornelius' house. What does God say to Peter? Rise up and go with him, because a group of people had come to take him to Cornelius' house. He had to rise up. All of this is about rising up and serving the Lord. Remember that we already talked about how that Saul was saved miraculously by God, and he's transformed. And Ananias is told to rise up and then to go to Saul, wherever Saul is. And he does. He lays his hands on him, and he receives the Holy Spirit. That's his infilling, by the way, because he was already saved. And he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and the scales fall off his eyes. But here's just two examples in the book of Acts where God tells people to rise up and do his work. Rise up and extend out the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and embrace more people like the Gentiles. That's what was going on with Peter. That's what was going on with Ananias. This person who was persecuting the church has now come into the church. We've already covered all of those things. This is, church, this is our privilege. It's not an obligation. Think of it. It's a privilege to be able to embrace people who are lost and need to know the Savior. To be able to embrace people, to love them, to tell them that they can be free. Did you see this story last week about the police officer who went into the wrong apartment and accidentally shot a man and killed him? Now, she was sentenced, I believe it was just last week, she was sentenced for shooting and killing that man. But what is really remarkable, her name is Amber Geiger. She's a former Dallas police officer. During the court hearing, the brother, the 18-year-old brother of the man that she shot, he took the stand, and here's what he said. He said, "I love you just like anyone else, and I'm not going to hope that you rot and die." And she was going to prison for